labor more abundantly than that they owe, not yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Well, Paul mentioned about that I am what I am. It is the grace of God. We just mentioned previously, right? Paul was very well educated, and Paul was one of the Sanhedrin members. Sanhedrin right now probably equivalent to one of the senators in the United States. And Paul was a Pharisee. Pharisees considered as a religious leader. So he was highly respected, highly regarded, and he became the top of the society. But when he was chosen by God, he said, I am who I am. It is the grace of God. So most people consider Paul as what? Out of his mind. Right? You are so high in everybody's eye. Then all of a sudden, you drop to be so low like Jesus Christ, right? So from so high, drop to be so low, that's called sacrifice, right? That's called sacrifice. So a lot of people consider Paul sacrifice too much. So Paul is out of his own mind. But to Paul, he himself, he said, I am who I am. It's the grace of God. So how come Paul view his conversion to be an apostle is the grace of God? That should come from a spiritual perspective. From a spiritual perspective, we look at matter. It's different from the worldly perspective. Worldly perspective is a sacrifice, but spiritual perspective is the blessing. Why? Because if we read verse 7, after that he was seen by James and by all the people, verse 8. Then these all have seen by him also. Paul considered himself as a sinner, and he was the chief sinner because he was the one who did the people persecute Christ. So if Paul was not chosen by Jesus Christ, in the future, he is not going to go to hell. Probably he will receive the most severe punishment in hell because he was a chief sinner. But out of the mercy of God, God forgive his sin, right? And call him on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christian. So his sin was forgiven. Not only the sin was forgiven, right now he become an apostle. Apostle is the one who used by Jesus Christ to fulfill his mission. If we understand Jesus Christ is God himself, being apostle means the servant of God. It's not the servant of United States president. It's the servant of God. From a chief sinner, all of a sudden become the servant of God. And this is the elevation. And this elevation is the blessing of God. From worldly perspective, it's a sacrifice. From spiritual perspective, it's the blessing of God. He called himself an apostle. It's the grace of God. I am what I am. And in the second Corinthians talk about there will be a treasure in the earthly vessel. Paul talk about treasure in the earthly vessel. Earthly vessel, a vessel made of clay. And that vessel actually probably not too expensive. But if the treasure put into the earthen vessel, and all of a sudden the earthen vessel become very precious, because the treasure inside. And that treasure is the gospel. So when God entrusted him the gospel, when God revealed him the gospel, It's just like a treasure in the earthen vessel. So what does it mean to today? If we consider serving God is a great sacrifice, our mindset still worldly. Now, United States tried, USGA tried to recruit 3 full-time ministers. But we thank God, at least right now, we have one responded, right? But we're still waiting. We're still waiting more worker, right? If I consider, I have good education, I have a good career, I have a good income, I have a good life, and to serve a full-time minister is a great sacrifice. We are still have mindset in the world. Because you think you low down, you think you sacrifice, you think you lose high income, you think you lose social status. But if we think, this is a blessing of God, then we are in the mindset, spiritual mindset. So how can we transform from the worldly mindset to the spiritual mindset? It requires a faith. And we are doing here right now, right? So through the spiritual transformation in NYTS, PMVP, we hope more people will consider serving God as a blessing, serving God as what? A grace of God. So if we all been transformed, and later on you can see a lot of people, they are volunteer. I want to be a full-time minister, right? We hope that we have 10 people, 20 people, submit their application. And GA will say, what can we do? We have 20 applications. We hope one day they will come. But we need to transform ourselves. The second point, separated for the gospel. What does it mean, separated for the gospel? Separated means from the day he was called, he did not engage in the worldly business anymore. And from the day he was called, God purposely designated him to preach gospel to the Gentile. That means separated for the gospel. So when we serve God in a full-time basis, usually we don't have the worldly entanglement separated for the gospel. Apostle for the Gentile. So the Bible say Paul was the apostle of Gentile. Through 3 missionary trips, God used him as a tool to spread the gospel from Asia to Europe. So that means separated for gospel. We look into the history of TJC, right? From 1917 until 1950s, this is a phase one of the TJC development. Our early worker preached the gospel from northern part of China into the Asia, including Taiwan in Southeast Asia. That is phase one. The phase two, 1960 until right now, the gospel start from different part, from Europe, from United States, and then we preach the gospel to Africa, helping the holy work in South America. This is a phase two of work. Right now, the phase two work, most of workers already reached to the stage of retirement. Now, we need to have phase three of the holy work based on the current development of TJC. We need to spread the gospel to every country in Africa. We need to spread the gospel to every country of Central and South America. And this is phase three. And phase three needs more worker. And who are the worker? You are the worker, right? Don't think about you, point at others. I am one of them, right? So when you pray, just don't think about brother so-and-so, very suitable, right? You think about I am, right? I'm here, please send me, all right? So we are in the phase three of the preaching the gospel worldwide. So separated for the gospel, apostle of the Gentile. Because God designated him to become an apostle of Gentile, so he received Greek education as well as Jewish education. He was very familiar with Hebrew and Greek, not only culture, but also language. So if we want to participate in the holy work, it's very important. We need to learn more. We can adapt ourselves to more culture, not only Oriental culture, but also in the Western culture. So we know what they think. We know their mindset, and we can speak their language. It's very important. Paul, God already prepared him. Now, full conviction of the gospel. In Book of Galatians, Paul mentioned about the gospel he preached. It's not because anybody taught him. The gospel he preached because God revealed to him directly. So he was so sure, if anyone preached the gospel different from what I preach, what should happen? Paul said, if anyone preached the gospel different from what he preached, what is going to happen? Blessed to them, right? No. The book of Galatians says, if anyone preach the gospel different from I preach, what happened? Curse to be them. All right. How come preach a different gospel is so serious? Sometimes, before we have a smartphone GPS, right? Sometimes we stop by a gas station and ask somebody, I want to go to certain street. What should I do? They will tell you, the second right, make it right. Second line, make a right, and then make a left, and make a right, and then what? You just follow that, you never get to where you go, you want to reach. Why? Because that guy just randomly tells you some direction. One day I was in South Africa. We are looking for a member's house, and they give a direction. When you see a very big blue signboard about a hotel name, and then you make a right turn. We drive 30, it says only about 15 minutes. We drive 30 minutes already. How come we never see that blue signboard? And later on we call the member. They come and pick us up. He say, and we discover that blue signboard had been blown away by the wind. So preach the wrong gospel means guide the people in the wrong way. If guide the people in the wrong way, the people cannot be saved. So that's the reason Paul say, if anyone preach the gospel different from what God revealed to me, curse to the person. And that gospel in the apostolic church right now is in TJC. So TJC is so precious. God revealed his complete gospel to us. So we need to have full conviction of the gospel. And not only so, Paul understood that he was separated as an apostle of the Gentile. He was very ambitious for the gospel. Romans chapter 15, verse 20. Romans 15, verse 20. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named. This I should build on another man's foundation. So Paul made up his mind. He made my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named. You want to go somewhere nobody has ever reached there, and he wanted to go there to preach the gospel. So he was very ambitious to fulfill God's entrustment. I know most of the youth nowadays are very ambitious, all right? You have your idea, your goal in your life. You push full speed. Use all your totality. Try to reach to your ambition, to your goal. But if that ambition or goal can modify it a little bit, all right, can accommodate some of the spiritual goal inside, that would be so wonderful for the church. That would be so wonderful that our life can become more meaningful. At least we have to do something for God, right? The thing we regret the most is what? After you reach retirement, you look back, I have not done anything for Christ. All right? So, Paul was very ambitious for the gospel. Okay. Number B, recipient, the church in Rome. Verse chapter 1, verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So your faith has well been spoken of. They have virtues. Faith and virtues were known by all. And two, more Gentile believe than Jewish believer. What was the purpose Paul wrote the letter of Book of Romans? Number one, instruct the believer in Rome of the pure and complete truth before he visited. So before he visited, he tried to use the Book of Rome to keep the member in Rome informed what is a complete gospel means, what is a complete truth means. The second, systematically lay out the truth of salvation. The member in Book of in the Church of Rome can be rooted. Right now, if anyone want to convert in TJC in North America, regularly, what we do is to go through the Truth Seeker class. And Truth Seeker class, we will study the 10 article of faith. And each article of faith, we probably will spend one section. And then we will spend few sections about 10 commandments. How come 20 years ago we don't do that, and nowadays we have to do this? Because nowadays, because information becomes so popular, especially through internet, through your smartphone. So every day we get in touch with a lot of different information. Actually, it's a process of brainwashing. Before that information is so much available, the society become very simple. You just believe in Jesus. You just believe in TJC. And then you don't have to think about too much. But right now, it's so many information. Then you start to compare. How come that church say so? How come my church say so? Then it makes us a lot of confusion if we are not rooted in our own faith. So nowadays, it's very very important. We have to systematically study the faith. So Paul presents the Book of Romans, try to systematically lay out the truth of salvation. They can be rooted. In some rare occasion, I heard one of our members, and later on become a Buddhist. Oh, I think that probably my whole life, I think I heard about one of the members become a Buddhist. How can a TJC member become a Buddhist? Oh, I think the only one answer is what? They don't understand the Book of Romans. Oh, or they don't believe the Book of Romans. If we believe, if we understand the Book of Romans, how can they become a Buddhist? Right? First, Buddha said, don't worship the only one true God. The second, Buddhists try to justify themselves by their own deeds. How can it be possible? You justify yourself by your own deeds. We have sinful nature without the help of God. How can we be saved? So it's very important. We have to understand the truth of salvation systematically. Our faith can be rooted. What kind of faith consider a faith with a foundation? Can you quote from the book of Matthew? What kind of faith consider a faith with foundation? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will like him, a wise man who built his house on the rock. We hear the words of Jesus and we do it. And this person is like a house built on the rock. So first we have to understand the words of Jesus, the teaching of the Bible. And the second, we hold fast now that teaching of the Bible, and then our faith has foundation. So if we don't understand the teaching of the Bible, then our faith has no foundation. Even we are very fervent, even we experience a lot of blessing. But if we don't understand the truth, our faith has no foundation. Even we have understand the truth, but if we don't want to pay price to hold on the truth, then our faith will still will collapse. So understand the truth, hold on the truth, then is a faith built on the rock. So now we look into number two, the gospel. Gospel is the power of God for salvation. Now we look into Romans chapter 1. I'll come back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. 2. Which he promised before through his prophecy in the Holy Scripture, verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Here talk about gospel is what God promised before through the prophet in the Holy Scripture. So gospel is a power of God for salvation. And gospel already prophesied in the Old Testament. It's not because Jesus was born in the world and then the gospel starts, the gospel start from there. No. In the Old Testament, even in the book of Ephesians, before the creation, God already prepared the salvation in Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, there are a lot of prophecy about the gospel. So gospel is not something fall down from heaven out of blue, right? No, gospel is the planning of God long time ago. And that planning was revealed in the Old Testament. And then it's fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, gospel was prophesied in the Old Testament. Then we look into a few examples. Then you know the gospel received had been prepared 1,000 years ago already, not only 2,000 years ago. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between the feet until Shiloh come, and to him shall be the obedience of the people, the Shiloh, the one who gives us peace, will come. And this is a prophecy in the Genesis 49, verse 10. And then we look into Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord of your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. This is what Moses said. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, like Moses. And what does that mean? This is the prophecy of coming of Jesus Christ. So in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talk about the Israelites come out of Egypt and they go through the Red Sea. They baptize into Moses. They baptize into Moses. What does that mean? Water baptism referring to, crossing the Red Sea represent baptism. When we baptize, we are baptized into Jesus Christ. But the Bible says baptized into Moses. So Moses represent, prefigure Jesus Christ. He guides the Israelites travel in the wilderness. Jesus guides us in the journey of our faith. So this is a prophecy, the coming of Jesus Christ. There are so many. Now we look into Isaiah. Isaiah is even more, the prophecy even more clear. Isaiah chapter 7. The book of Isaiah, another name is the book of gospel in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. 800 years before Jesus was born, God already prophesied Messiah, Jesus is coming, right? Before you are born, does any prophecy? No, right? We are born out of coincidence, right? Your parents decide, I already have a baby, I get aborted the second one, then you are not here, all right? Only Jesus Christ, God purposely planned for it. And God revealed his plan in the prophecy in the Old Testament. So there was a virgin give birth a child, and his name shall be Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? What does Emmanuel mean? My brother, what does Emmanuel mean? Is there anybody called Emmanuel here? Oh, nobody. No. Emmanuel means God is with us. Through the birth of the child, God will be with us. And who is the child? Jesus Christ. And how come through Jesus Christ, God will be with us? Because Jesus brings us salvation. The primary goal of Jesus is to remove people's sin. So once sin been forgiven, then God will abide in us. And that is the beginning of Emmanuel. Oh. And then we look into chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Right? Unto us. Us referring to what? Everyone in the world. A child is born for everyone in the world. You know, your parents give birth of you only for his own family. Right? But a child will be born for everyone in the world. Now you read even more. Right? Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Oh, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So this child has four great title or great responsibility. The one is Wonderful and Counselor. Usually we make it connected together. Wonderful Counselor, right? When you have a problem in school, you go to see counselor, right? But when your life has a problem, who are you consulted with? Wonderful Counselor, right? Every problem Jesus Christ has to answer. And do you know what is the answer of Jesus Christ to your problem? Do you know? What is the answer of Jesus Christ to your problem, brother? You don't know. What is the answer of Jesus Christ to human problem? The answer of human problem is Jesus Christ himself. Right? If we have Jesus Christ himself, you can resolve all the major issues. Right? That prophecy in the Bible. For example, you always feel bored. Life is meaningless. Right? How can you resolve it? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You come to me, you will never hunger and thirst. Your life will be fulfilled. Then, if you feel, I cannot understand what is the purpose of life, what is the utmost pursuit of life, you ask all the friends, they have the same problem too, right? And Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will never in darkness. So Jesus Christ himself is the answer of our major problem. If you are afraid of death, what should you do? Brother, if you are afraid of death, what are you going to do? Huh? Brother, if you are afraid of death, what should you do? You have no choice, right? You are already here. If the death is coming, approaching, what are you going to do? All right. Jesus said, I am the life. I am the resurrection. Right. And it is the answer. Oh, right. If I cannot transform my character, some people say, I'm born in this way. You have to blame my parents, right? Because I inherit a bad character from all your parents. But the next question is, how come your parents' good character you never inherit? Oh, only inherit a bad character. What can you do? Oh, right. Jesus Christ said, I am the true vine. You are the branch. If you connect to the moon, you will bear the fruit. So Jesus is the answer of all your problems. So he's a wonderful counselor. And then he is a mighty God. Nothing is impossible to Jesus Christ. If he wants to help you, nothing is impossible. He is the Almighty God. And then he's an everlasting Father. Father means he loves you. Everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. So this is a prophecy in the Bible talk about the coming of Jesus Christ. So Jesus coming through a very thorough planning of God, revealed in the prophecy of the Old Testament. Now we read some more. Isaiah chapter 52. Only book of Isaiah is contain a lot of prophecy of Jesus coming. Isaiah chapter 52. Verse 13 and 14. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently, and he shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. 14, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the son of man. He's talking about what? Talking about Jesus Christ. Now we look into verse 53. Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of commodities. And then when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire on him. Jesus Christ is like a root come out of the dry ground. Dry ground, not enough water, not enough nutrition. So Jesus don't have the outer beauty to attract people. And this old prophecy in the Old Testament. And verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Verse 4, surely he was borne our grief and carried out our sorrow, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. So all these are the prophecy of Jesus Christ, how he come, how he suffer, and how he died for us. And verse 10. Onwards. We come back to teaching material. Prophecy of the gospel, right? The second. Christianity is a fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament. So New Testament and Old Testament, you cannot separate. Because New Testament comes from the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Old Testament is a shadow. New Testament is a substance. Shadow comes first and substance comes follow. The third one, gospel is what we can examine. So Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 4, talk about the process. How did Luke wrote the book of Luke? And Luke was a physician. Physician is more scientific minded. He has examined all the evidence, thoroughly examined all the evidence of Jesus' preaching and Jesus' life. And he compiled together to become the book of life, the book of Luke. The gospel is what we can examine. So the book of Bible, the person of Jesus Christ, is what we can examine. It's not a fiction. It's a true person. Okay. Now, tomorrow we are going to go to the main body. We still have a small portion about Jesus is a man and Jesus is God. Okay. Let's kneel down and pray. Conclude the morning section. Kneel down and pray.